Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we meet once again this evening. It isn't fair, it's mercy. From the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 15, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Jesus crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." And Paul's letter to the Romans, to us as well, from Romans chapter 11. "Just as you Gentiles were once at one time disobedient to God, you now have received mercy as a result of their," the Jews' "disobedience. So now the Jews too have now become disobedient in order that they too may receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." This is the word of our Lord. You know any children? One of the things that you hear them say every once in a while is, "It's not fair! My brother got the last piece of cake. That's a bigger piece than I had, or than I had. It's not fair. They got a chance to decide on the last movie that we watched. It's not fair." Have you heard any parents say that? "It's not fair. I haven't had a date night with my spouse for 2 weeks. It's not fair." You can fill in the blanks, right? Have you heard it at work? "It's not fair. I do more work than they do, and they got the promotion and I didn't. It's not fair. I got laid off and the other person got a chance to continue working. It's not fair." Boy, we could spend a lot of time talking about all the different ways that we talk about it's not fair. Even when disasters happen in our lives, even when bad things happen, whether it's hospitalizations or whatever it might be, don't we usually come up with this idea of, "It's just not fair"? But what do we mean? What do we mean when we say, "It's not fair"? Don't we usually mean that things aren't going my way? When we say it's not fair, don't we usually say, "I want things to be differently than that"? I'd like to be in charge of what's going on. It's not fair. I want to tell you good news tonight. Good news is that when God deals with us, it isn't fair, it's mercy. And aren't you glad? What if God dealt with us in fairness? What if God gave to us what we really deserve? You know, fairness in its realness is what we deserve. And if God gave us what we deserved, if it was about fairness, well, we wouldn't be sitting here, would we? We wouldn't have any life or breath or anything of gifts that God has given to us. Today's gospel reading, all three scriptures, but especially today's gospel reading, speaks to us about mercy, not fairness, but mercy. And it points us to the gracious mercy of God and the good news of mercy that God gives to us. You know, it might cause some people to wonder a little bit about Jesus. Jesus has been inundated by the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 15, the very beginning of that, the Pharisees and the scribes have been coming at Jesus and trying to discredit him and so on. And so Jesus says, "Hey, fellas, let's get out of here." They go on up to Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite area, a ways away from Jerusalem, a spot apart from all this hassle with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, a place to teach his disciples. And Jesus has been up there before. We can hear about that in some of the other gospel readings. And so Jesus is known up in that area. So that when Jesus is up there, there's a Canaanite woman that hears that Jesus is there. And that Canaanite woman, unlike the Pharisees, come to Jesus not to complain to Jesus, but to request, a wonderful request that she gives. She says to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on me." What would you expect? here's Jesus, the one that heals the blind, that gives the lame opportunity to walk, that raises the dead, that feeds 5,000 people, that listens to prayer, that always helps out all of his people, right? You would expect Jesus to say, oh, woman, thanks for asking. You bet. That's not what we read. Did it surprise you? The woman comes. The Canaanite woman, she comes. Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me, Messiah. Have mercy on me, Jesus. My daughter is demon-possessed. And what does Jesus do? Ignores her. He doesn't say a word. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty shocking, isn't it? That's pretty shocking that Jesus would not even give her the time of day, as it were. And then, as he just continues on, the woman doesn't give up. The woman understands about mercy. The woman understands about Jesus. The woman understands about the Messiah. And she continues to follow. And she follows those 13 men, 12 disciples and Jesus, and she continues after him and continues to ask for mercy. And again, Jesus doesn't seem like he's going to give her the time of day. And the disciples come and they say, Jesus, get rid of her. She's a nuisance. Give her what she wants or whatever, and so she can quit following us. And Jesus says something pretty remarkable. This poor woman, we'll get back to what Jesus says here. This poor woman, this woman of great faith, this poor woman had three strikes against her when she came to Jesus. The first thing was that she was a woman in a very male-dominated time, in a very male-dominated world. Women did not have much value, or they were not looked upon or listened to very much. Not only that, but she was a Gentile. All right, you know that in this time, there was a very Israelite, a very much of an influence of the promised people and the Israelites against the Gentiles and so on, and there wasn't too much of this going on between each other. In fact, the Gentiles were thought as dogs, the worst thing that you could think of. The Jews would call them dogs. Strike one, strike two. The third strike that this poor woman had was her poor daughter. Her poor daughter was demon-possessed. Three strikes against her. So she came to the only one she knew who could help her. The only one she knew, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the one who could have mercy on her. And what reception did she get? It seemed like Jesus was ignoring her. And then Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I ain't come for you Gentiles. What's interesting is, when Jesus said that, he wasn't talking to the woman. He was talking to his disciples. Remember, Jesus went up to Tyre and Sidon, up into that area, because he wanted to teach his disciples. What a teaching opportunity that he had as God sent this faithful Gentile woman, this woman who with great faith comes and prays for mercy. This woman with three strikes against her who comes and prays, and Jesus seems to ignore her, but she is very persistent. She is very, very patient. She continues to come and ask. And then Jesus almost speaks like the Pharisees. He almost sounds like a Pharisee. I didn't come for the lost. I came only for the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come for those dogs that are there, those family pets, those little puppy dogs that are there. But the Canaanite woman won't give up. The Canaanite woman says, oh, yes, Lord Jesus, but the puppy dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What a woman. What a woman of faith. What a woman who knew the truth about God's mercy. Now, how did this woman know this? Obviously, the Holy Spirit created faith in her heart. We know that. But here she is. She's a Gentile woman. Did she know the words of Isaiah? Did she know these words that we read just a few moments ago from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Gospel of Isaiah, that is in the Old Testament, where it talks about that my house will be called a house of prayer for just the Jews? No, that's not what it says. For all nations. Did she know that? She must have to come to Jesus and pray for mercy. Obviously, this wasn't written yet, but the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Romans here in our scripture readings for today, helps the Jewish people to know, and wants the Gentile people to know as well, that Jesus came not just for the Jewish people. Jesus came for all people. Jesus came to show mercy for all people. And so we have this beautiful story. We have this beautiful story of this very persistent woman who comes and prays for mercy. She comes and asks Jesus not for fairness. She never complained, "It's not fair that I'm a woman in a very man-dominated society. It's not fair that I'm a Gentile instead of an Israelite. And it's not fair that my daughter has demon possession." She never said any of that, did she? She came and she prayed for mercy. How could she do that? Three things. She could do that because she knew Jesus. Isn't it ironic that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and even the disciples, maybe up until this time, didn't really know Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised one? And yet, what does this woman say? The messianic name. She calls Jesus by his messianic name and prays for mercy. She knew Jesus. Also, she knew who she was. She knew herself. She knew that there was nothing that she could do or would ever do that would deserve anything from Jesus. And so, knowing Jesus and his mercy, knowing how unworthy she was herself, she came to Jesus and says, "Lord, have mercy." That woman knew Jesus. She knew herself, and she prayed. She prayed the same prayer we pray. She prayed, "Lord, have mercy." She knew she was unworthy. We don't like to hear that too much. We don't like to hear that we're sinful, or that we're unclean, or that we're not worthy of the different things. Charles Schulz in the Peanuts cartoons. There it is. One of the classics that Charles Schulz has done here. Lucy comes. "You know what the whole trouble with you is, Charlie Brown?" Obviously, Charlie Brown says, "No, and I don't want to know. Leave me alone." And then he walks away, pouting. And Lucy says, "The whole trouble with you is that you won't listen to what the whole trouble with you is." Isn't that the same with us oftentimes as well? "It's not fair. Things should be better for me." Rather than, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but punishment. And God, in his great mercy, showers us with his blessings, and how merciful he is for us. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have a prayer." But we do. It's the same prayer. It's the same prayer that this woman said. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Maybe you recognize it. It's part of our liturgy. It's part of what we come and worship here and pray to Jesus about. We begin our worship service with "Lord, have mercy" as we confess our sins and ask Jesus for that gracious forgiveness. For you see, the greatest unfairness that ever happened to Jesus. It's not fair that Jesus suffered on that cross. It's not fair that Jesus took all the sins of the entire world upon himself. It's not fair that the perfect Son of God, that God the Father would send his one and only Son to love a very wicked and sinful world. It's not fair.
But it is mercy.
It is mercy, isn't it? It's mercy and grace. It's the mercy and grace that this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman, knew so well. It's the grace and the mercy that she knew that Jesus came to give to all nations. And what did she ask for? She asked for the mere crumbs. She knew that that would be enough. That would be enough, the mere crumbs that were there, the wonderful blessings that God gives. Did you come for the crumbs today? Do you receive the crumbs that God gives to us? How marvelous it is. Oh, much more than crumbs. Much more than crumbs. God's precious word, life-giving word. His scriptures, the Bible, the daily devotions, the scripture readings. Oh, what wonderful blessings, the life that that gives. The blessings of our baptism as we begin in our worship service and are reminded of those words spoken upon us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've been made sons and daughters of God. The gracious blessing, more than crumbs, of the Lord's Supper that we'll receive again tonight. Jesus' true body and blood for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, the mercy of God, His great love as He comes and gives us those great blessings. Oh, yes, it's not fair, but it's mercy. And how wonderful that that is, that God doesn't deal with us in fairness. He deals with us with His mercy and showers His grace and mercy upon us each and every day through His word and sacrament. And as He showers that blessing upon us, then our lives are changed. Do you kind of wonder what happened to that Canaanite woman and the daughter? I do. I wonder. Boy, their life really was changed at that time. And did they share that message up in Tyre and Sidon and more people came to believe in Jesus? Did they follow Jesus and were they some of the women maybe that supported Jesus? We don't know. But it certainly changed their lives, didn't it? It changes our lives as well. It changes our lives. And so we love our Lord and Savior Jesus. We grow in our faith. We share that message and we show God's mercy and speak God's mercy to all those around us. May God continue to bless each and every one of us, not with fairness, but with His mercy. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.